On the pastor's study, we've been doing a series entitled The Strategy of Satan, How to Detect and Defeat Him. Our lesson today is entitled Don't Give Place to Satan. Don't give place to Satan. But before we get into our lesson, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he saved us, all those that have believed on him and call upon his name to save them, Lord. We thank you that we have your very words preserved that are inspired in the King James Bible. And as we open them up today, we pray you'd bless the lesson today. Bless each listener today in a special way. Encourage them to continue to go on for you, God. And we pray for the lost soul that's not saved, that they would trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else, to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them eternity in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just ask that you have your will and your way in our study today, and it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and we give thanks. Amen. Don't give place to Satan. Now, if the believer cultivates in his life any known sin, what he is doing, he's giving Satan an opportunity to get a foothold. Amen. Or giving him place in his life. Satan will then use this opportunity to invade and take over other areas. Paul warns in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. He says, neither give place to the devil. Amen. In the language of warfare, we would say, don't give the devil a beachhead. Amen. It would be well for us to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 to 32. So I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 with me. And as I said, we're going to read verses 25 to 32. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now let's consider some of the sins that give place to Satan. And let's try to understand why. We see in verse 25, one of them is lying. Since Satan himself is a liar, it is no surprise that lying opens for him an opportunity to work in our lives. When you believe the truth, then the Holy Spirit can work in your life. When you believe a lie, then the devil can work in your life. We need to heed the Apostle Paul's counsel as found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The words of God say this: "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Paul gives us a good reason for avoiding deceit. We are members one of another, amen? God's truth builds up the body, but Satan's lies tear it down. Since we belong to each other, we also affect each other. If there is a deceit in my life, I will influence you as a member of his body. Since God is a God of truth, and his word is truth, John chapter 17, verse 17, and his spirit is truth, 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, it is impossible to be in fellowship with God while you are harboring a lie. Satan tempted Ananias and Sapphira to lie to God and to the church, and God judged them severely. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Amen? Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We won't go there, but when you have some time, look at it. Now, keep in mind that their sin was not, Ananias and Sapphira's sin was not in keeping back some of the money. Their sin was trying to make people think they were very spiritual when in reality they were hypocrites. And the Word of God tells us in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. And for all liars, for that fact, a matter of fact, amen? Look with me in the book of Revelation for a minute. The book of Revelation, chapter 21. In Revelation 21, verse number 8, the Word of God says this: "But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters," and here it is, "and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, Revelation chapter 22, verse 15 sharpens the focus even more when it describes deceitful people as, notice how it describes deceitful people in chapter 22 in verse 15. "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." In other words, it is not the person who occasionally lies, for even the best Christians might do that. Abraham, for example. But it is the person who makes lying the love of his life and whose entire life is characterized by deceit. Such a person is so like Satan that he must end up where Satan ends up in hell. Amen? Let's look at another sin that was mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 25 to 32 that gives Satan place or a beachhead. And that would be anger. Satan can be angry, right? Amen? Look with me in Revelations, what it says in Revelations chapter 12. In verse number 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, for woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you. Here it is. Having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And then verse 17. We read, and the dragon was wroth. See that anger. With the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now this would suggest, amen, this would suggest that anger in our hearts gives place to Satan in our lives. Just as lying and murder go together, so anger and murder go together. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 with me, if you would. And let's look at verses 21 to 22. The Word of God has this to say. And ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, whosoever shall kill shall in be danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Amen. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. To be sure, there is a righteous anger. God expresses anger at sin. Notice with me in the book of Psalms, chapter 7, in verse number 11, we read, God judgeth the righteous, and here it is, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Jesus Christ revealed a righteous anger when he drove the religious merchants out of the temple in Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 3. And when he condemned the hypocritical Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. It's not enough to love the good. We must also hate the evil. Amen. Notice, in the book of Psalms, again, Psalms, this time, Psalm number 97, in verse number 10, we read, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints, he delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. And then also in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, in verse number 13, we read, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. And then in Romans. Romans chapter 12 with me. Romans 12. Look at verse 9. The Word of God says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave that which is good. However, it's difficult for us as sinful humans to cultivate and exercise a truly righteous anger, amen. Our sinful nature has a way of polluting our emotions so that they often do more harm than good. Aristotle said it perfectly centuries ago. Anyone can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right person, purpose, in the right way, that is not easy. Sinful anger always leads to more sin. Usually when we are angry, we say things which later we are very sorry about. And often we make decisions that turn out to be hurtful to ourselves as well as others. Satan knows this, so he encourages us to cultivate sinful anger. Another sin that gives place to Satan, we see in our paragraph in Ephesians 4, 25 to 32, is found in verse 28, and that's stealing. Now, Satan is a thief. Amen. Satan is a thief. Notice what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. John 10, 10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Amen? The experience of the demoniac of the country of the Gadarenes is a vivid example of how Satan steals from his servants. The account can be found in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. We won't turn there. But you see, Satan robbed this man, first of all, of his sanity, then his liberty, his home, because we read that he lived in a graveyard. He stole his joy, his effective work in life, his reputation, his health. Amen? Because we're told that he cut himself with stones. And Satan would have robbed him of his life and his soul had he not been set free by Jesus Christ. Employees who borrow things, amen, from their employers' offices are inviting Satan to get a foothold in their lives. You see, a person who can steal a 15-cent pencil has a potential of stealing a $15 book or a $150,000 payroll. Look with me in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, notice what the words of Almighty God have to say here. In Luke 16, in verse number 10, we read in the words of God, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he," here it is, "he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Note the tense of the verb is being present. He is already unjust. In other words, not he will be. He is unjust. There is not need to list the various ways that we steal or try to excuse it. Every man knows his own heart. Some people steal time. Others rob God by unfaithful giving. And still others hold back money that belonged to others. Amen. It is interesting to note the reason Paul gives for the believer working and not stealing is so that he may be able to give to others. It is our relationship to others, not only fear of God's judgment, that helps to govern our lives. Again, for we are members one of another. Amen. Now let's look at another sin that gives place to Satan, found in Ephesians chapter 4 and our passage, verses 25 to 32, and it's corrupt communication there in verse 29. And in fact, Paul repeats this warning against corrupt communication in the next chapter, in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. And in verse number 4, Paul warns, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So all of these things are considered corrupt communication, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, and so forth and so on. Now, God is not forbidding holy, healthy humor. You see, the ability to laugh is a mark of maturity and discernment. What Paul is condemning is low humor, jesting that is dirty. This kind of speech tears a person down, and God wants our speech to be good for edification. Since what we say comes from the heart, impure speech and humor indicate an impure imagination. A person does not have to read pornographic books or see pornographic movies to have a pornographic imagination. If Satan can get us to think about sin and then talk about sin, he will have an easier time tempting us to commit sin. And when we talk freely about filthy things, it takes the edge off our conviction, and we get accustomed to it, and soon the barriers are down. Amen? Now, another sin that gives place to Satan, we find, and is in Ephesians chapter 4 in the passage we read, is an unforgiving spirit. Amen? The believer who harbors bitterness and malice in his heart is given Satan one of his most effective beachheads. These attitudes and the others mentioned hinder the Spirit from working in our lives. And this robs us of the power we need to detect and defeat the devil. You see, the old nature delights in breeding this kind of poison. Amen? I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go back there in verse 30 for a moment. And it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. The only remedy is forgiveness. If someone wrongs you, forgive him from your heart. And Jesus gives the steps to follow. Amen. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. And he cautions us to be reconciled as quickly as possible in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 26. Amen. The longer you harbor an unforgiving spirit, the more territory Satan will gain in your life. In my pastoral experience, I have seen homes, Sunday school classes, and whole churches weaken, and in some cases destroyed by Christians who will not forgive one another. Even if the other party does not forgive you, you forgive him. Amen. You cannot force him to be forgiving, but you can see to it that Satan is defeated in your own life. Then we see the word malice, another sin, in Ephesians 4, verse 31, that gives to place to Satan. Paul commands that the deacons' wives and the older women of the church not be malicious gossips. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11, Titus chapter 2, verse 3. When believers share in gossip and slander, they are doing the devil's work for him and giving him a beachhead for additional work. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor is God's commandment in Exodus 20:16. And among the six things which the Lord hates is a false witness that speaketh lies in Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 19. Proverbs 25, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 25. In Proverbs 25, notice what the Word of God says in verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, and a sword, and a sharp arrow. Pretty strong language, amen? Slander can hurt a person up close, as does a club, or farther away, as does a sword, or even at a distance, as does an arrow. But whatever the range, the damage is deadly. Many of the great and godly men of the Bible suffered because of slander and false witness, including Joseph, David, Jeremiah, Paul, and even our Lord Jesus. Many of the great and godly leaders in church history were slandered by their enemies. My friend, it's a painful experience for a dedicated Christian to see and hear his name and ministry maligned, especially when the slander comes from professed believers who pretend to do the Lord's work by exposing the sins of the saints. How Satan must rejoice when he sees Christians slandering other in print. The Word of God tells us how to deal with the sins of the saints. Amen. Notice with me first, in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse number 1, the Word of God says, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then we read in 1 Peter, chapter 4, in verse number 8, And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And then in Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs 10 and verse number 12, we read, Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Now, this does not mean that love ignores sins, or that love condones sins. It simply means that love for the brethren keeps us from exposing sin before the eyes of the world and weak Christians, that it keeps us from capitalizing on a brother's fall in order to make ourselves look good or better. Don't hang dirty wash out in public, a wise pastor said years ago, and I have found it to be good counsel. I have also found it wise not to believe everything I hear or read about fellow Christians until there is proof. The fact has to be confirmed, amen, at the mouth of two or three witnesses. So we see that Satan is the slanderer and accuser of the brethren. When you and I slander the saints instead of praying and seeking to cover sin in love, we are working for the devil. We should not be surprised if he gets a foothold in our lives and turns our weapons against us. Any sin that we harbor in our lives that we know is there yet we refuse to acknowledge and confess, will give Satan place for further attacks. Well, that concludes our study today. My prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.